Manning pivots to throw from his own 36. Suits that up the right side of the field. Intercepted by Ohio State and stepping out of bounds. Jermaine Matthews with his second career interception. Picking it off and getting the ball right around the Texas 30-yard line as he picks off Arch Manning.
And we are joined now, changing things up a little bit, with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, at 9:20 by Tommy Yarish, Texas Longhorn fan. Look at Bobby's face on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Tommy from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for rubbing that in. Really needed that.
Yes.
That was bad. Didn't like that at all.
When did you start panicking in the game? Did you have to wait till half, or you panicked before that?
I don't know if I was panicked. I mean, it was ugly. They seem out of sorts, out of rhythm, and then, you know, maybe second half they can turn it around, but never did. I thought, you know, they closed better, but definitely not enough. And yeah, I wish that game would have been in week three or something like that, so that, you know, they can at least get all that stuff out of the way and knock the cobwebs off in the first game against like San Jose State or something, and then play each other. I think that would have benefited everybody.
You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
And this is what happens, you know, Bobby, you didn't go to school there, so you're just like a t-shirt fan. This guy takes it personally.
Tommy, did you manage to avoid the score and get home to watch it on playback?
No, I did not. That was never going to work, and you guys were absolutely right about that. So I watched along as I could and was very frustrated, but it's all good. We'll see him again, and we'll get him next time.
Yeah, we won't have Arch that time, and so we'll actually win.
Are you someone who has to watch these games in private, or you can be around others? Where'd you watch it?
Texas games, it's usually in private, because I get pretty fired up. I'm a yell at the TV guy.
Yeah.
With Texas. Those I have to be in private. Other games and stuff like that, I'm good, you know, going out and watching with people. But when I'm watching Texas play, it's got to be in-house.
Give us your Arch assessment. Break it down, his performance.
He just never really seemed comfortable. And it wasn't necessarily Sark not trying to get him comfortable throws. I thought, you know, Steve is so good with the opening script. And I thought the opening script was pretty good. Arch just couldn't really hit a lot of them. So some of it, I'm sure, was nerves and just kind of, you know, playing a three high safety defense that Matt Patricia runs, and he's kind of unique to what he does. But I thought he played better towards the end, and you know, once he settled in. So once he gets settled and really gets comfortable, I feel like he'll be just fine.
Do they win with Quinn?
It's certainly more of a game. You know, I think, you know, do they win? Maybe. I mean, the thing with Quinn and the reason why Sark didn't put Arch in for Quinn is because the one thing that Quinn had that Arch didn't was playing experience. And I think that so many people forget how valuable that is. And sure, you can sit there and learn the scheme and all that all you want, but going out there and actually playing in it and, you know, being in those environments and playing those defenses is what's really valuable. And Quinn had that. Arch didn't. And that's not, you know, discredit to Arch. He just, you know, it's a little bit different when you go in there. I think you look at the Georgia game and the snaps that he got, and you could kind of tell that, all right, this is, you know, a learning moment, a learning curve, if you will. And Quinn had been in those environments. He played in a ton of big games, and that's why he was so successful. And so, yeah, I think it's absolutely more of a game if Quinn is in.
Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline. How was the Dallas Cowboy reaction in the locker room over the weekend to the Micah trade? What stood out to you?
It was interesting. You know, I think the timing is weird because, you know, the trade happens 5 days before the season opener. And, you know, obviously some guys are surprised and disappointed that he's not there. But at the same time, you know, they don't have time to really dwell on it too much. Like, they've got to go turn around and open the season here. They leave tomorrow to go to Philadelphia. So certainly there was some disappointment. You know, obviously guys like Trayvon Diggs, who was really close with Micah, it's going to sting, and it'll sting for a while. But at the end of the day, they don't really have much of a choice. They've got to, you know, put it behind them and get ready to play the defending Super Bowl champs.
A lot of people trying to read into Dak's response to it and wondering, okay, do you think Dak signed off on it? Do you think Dak was okay with it? Did you get a type of feel one way or the other from Prescott?
Not really. I think, did he have a say in it? Maybe. I mean, that's certainly something to consider just because of how big of a voice Dak Prescott is in the locker room. But from my understanding, there was never any sort of issues with him and Micah Parsons. So, you know, whether or not he signed off on it, you know, I think that was not necessarily above him, but just the fact that, you know, it's not, I don't think it's his call. Sure, they might have asked for his 2 cents on the matter, but at the end of the day, I didn't hear of or know of any issues between the two of them to where it would be like a, okay, Dak says this, so we really got to do it now in terms of how the front office was thinking.
What were your first impressions of Kenny Clark speaking?
It was good. You know, I think this is a guy who he's kind of put in a weird spot just because everybody's going to call it the Micah trade, and so much attention goes to Micah, and you know, nobody really is going to think much about Kenny Clark just because Micah is the bigger name, and that's not a, you know, no offense there to Kenny, he's a great player, but you know, he knows that, and I think he's motivated by that. He's got something to prove that, hey, I'm a good player too, and you know, they traded for me for a reason, and he's got a really good opportunity to do that. You know, if he comes in and improves their run defense, then this is going to, you might look back on this in retrospect and say, hey, this actually was a pretty good trade for Dallas. So every impression I've got of him is good. You know, he's no nonsense. He's all about football. And it seems like he's already ingrained himself pretty well into the locker room. He said, you know, he wants to take a leadership role. And, you know, I think that was important. And part of it too is they think this guy can be a leader on this defense. He's a veteran, and you know, it won't take too long for him to get accustomed to this scheme. It's a lot of the same things that he did in Green Bay. So I feel like it's a good fit.
Do you have any concern that since he's a little older, not old, but older, that it's a shorter term play for a young guy in the trade?
Maybe. You know, I think defensive tackles can usually play pretty well into their 30s. It obviously is a case by case basis, sure. But you know, I think you look at last year, certainly not his best year by any means, but the year before that, he's a pro bowler for the third time, and I feel like with a guy like Oso Digizua next to him, it doesn't necessarily carry the weight of, okay, you got to do everything, right? So I think it's a good fit for him. I'm not concerned about the long-term trajectory. You know, they've got him for the next 2 years, and then after that, you know, you can kind of see where everything goes, and you've got those additional 2 first-round picks. So if you feel like, oh man, you know, we still need another guy here on the defensive line, then you can do something with those picks, whether that be drafting or trading for somebody. So they've got options, and I think that's what they were trying to do ultimately, is set themselves up with options to do a lot of different things, not just a defensive tackle, but really with the entire roster.
Tommy Arsh from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Tommy, injury report came out yesterday. Full participation for Trayvon Diggs and Tyler Guyton both. A couple more reports to come out, one today and then one tomorrow. The fact that very first one that comes out, should we be fairly optimistic about those two being able to go?
For now, yeah, I think so. Both of them have said in the locker room that they think they can go and they want to play. Diggs told us yesterday that he was 75-80% in terms of whether or not he would play. So as it stands right now, yeah, they've both done everything that we've seen in the media period. They've both participated in team periods during practice. So as far as we know, yeah, things are looking good in that department.
Now, if an offensive lineman's out there, he's out there. If a corner's out there, you may have him, you know, if he's coming back from an injury, be on somewhat of a pitch count or snaps are a little bit limited. Assuming Diggs is out there, is he going to still be sharing time, getting the conditioning work in? How do they expect to play that, do you think?
I think they'll probably see how it goes. You know, let him see how he's doing after the first, you know, 10 or 15 snaps and kind of go from there. You know, I think he's really put an emphasis on trying to get the conditioning down. You know, he's taking scout team reps to try and go up against CD and George Pickens so that he can really kind of get his legs back under him, because it does take time, and he's going to have to do that against, you know, two of the better wide receivers in the league, and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith too. So, but he's put a lot of work into the conditioning aspect of it, and I think they'll kind of play it by ear, and if he has a rough start or if you can tell that he's uncomfortable, then you might look at some moving parts there. But the good thing is they've got a guy in Deron Bland who can kind of move all over the place and not really, you know, you don't necessarily have to see him drop off or anything like that. He can play outside. He can play inside, regardless of where Diggs is.
Tommy Arsch from DallasCowboys.com here on 105 through the Fan. Tommy, we obviously talked a lot about Micah Parsons, and now they're going to head into this first game. And one of the things that Jerry and Steven talked about is the ability to design pass rush and design pressure, and how you can do that more easily than you can design to and scheme up, run stopping. Do you think, as a guy, Eberflus, who has not been a big blitzer in his time, do you think we're going to see them right out of the gate trying to scheme up pressure against Philly? Are they going to be running some blitzes? Or do you think they're going to say, hey, let's see what our four can bring us, and if we have to adjust, we'll adjust?
I think they're going to start out, like you said, there at the tail end with they're just going to bring four and see what happens. You know, I think they're really hoping that Odighizuwa and Clark in the middle generates interior pressure, something that they really haven't had a lot of in recent years, because, you know, it's been Micah majority of the time coming off the edge getting you pressure. They're hoping that that allows these other pass rushers now to be better. And they're hoping that, you know, the Sam Williams and the Dante Fowlers and Donovan Azarakus of the world, because of interior pressure, are able to get sacks and get into the backfield when the pocket collapses. So I think that's where it's going to start. And if they feel like they're getting that, then I think, you know, you see kind of business as usual from Matt Eberflus. Not a big blitzer, like you said, Bobby. And they'll just kind of ride with that if it's working for them.
What are your thoughts on the De'Ron Bland contract? And obviously the other big one hanging out there now remaining would be Tyler Smith, if they might still be able to try and cram something in before the game.
Yeah, good for De'Ron to get that settled and get that done. I think it works out well long-term for Dallas, because, you know, getting it done before the season was something that he wanted. He's been a really good player. 14 interceptions over his first 2 years. The injury kind of bogged him down a little bit last year, but a versatile piece who can play inside and outside and is comfortable doing that. I think that's valuable in today's NFL. And then, all eyes turned to Tyler Smith. I think it would benefit everybody to get that done before Thursday, just because, you know, a player of his caliber is worthy of being at the top of the market, I think. So I think you look at, you know, the Micah Parsons trade, part of the reason why they did that was because, you know, $47 million, whatever it was that he got in Green Bay, that's a lot of money. And if you're going to give that guy a lot, then, or if you're going to pass on giving that guy a lot, then you want to pay some of the other guys. And I think they knew that they had some big names coming up, and Tyler Smith is certainly the biggest one, I think, left out there. So I think it would benefit everybody to get that done here before the season.
Thank you for the time, Tommy. Appreciate it. We will recap on Thursday, and good luck in recovery.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Is our next guest a Dallas Cowboy hater, or is he just spitting the truth? He's got the most epic rants on the Good Morning Football Morning Show. Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, joins us next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan, segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org, and also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers Franco and Franco. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Franco first, 214-817-333-3333. With Franco and Franco, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franco and Franco, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
That was a rewarding performance, and this is a rewarding run as Gregorian Barnes is out the gate, inside the 30, to the 10, touchdown TCU, 75 yards, and no flags.
Wow, that was the call last night on ESPN, a perfect opening drive for the Tar Heels, and then they get absolutely smoked. Sonny Dykes saying, we felt disrespected. A lot of talk leading up to this, and none of it was about us. 48-14 Horn Frogs. What TCU do on social media?
So North Carolina has a series coming out, a Hulu series. Like, it's basically like a Hard Knocks following them around. So they quote tweeted the announcement from a couple weeks ago with Bill Belichick announcing it, and they said, when does the first episode come out? So TCU is trolling now.
Well, the most unbelievable thing is this post-game press conference setup. I still don't really believe it.
It looks like a birthday party for like an 8-year-old. It is the normal backdrop that North Carolina has, right? The logo and the Jordan brand, and they have a sponsor on there that they probably pay a pretty penny to. And then bordering this around the edge is balloons. Blue and white balloons with stars, like the stars over there. It's remarkable.
All right, we switch up the show today to get this guy on. Kyle Brand, NFL Network, Good Morning Football, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline on the home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
I'm great. I'm laughing my ass off you guys talking about the Tar Heels post-conference setup. Can you believe that? A kid's birthday party is perfect. There should have been, like, Spider-Man was there, and Moana, and the girls from Frozen. I'm going to do cake, and we're going to play Bozo Buckets, and then everybody gets a treat bag when they leave the press conference after TCU kicked the crap out of you. What a scene. Oh, my God.
What were you thinking after the first North Carolina drive?
I mean, I was just rolling my eyes at all of social media, being like, wow, Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. Give him an extension. And everybody in Bristol, Connecticut, you could feel them doing one great big backflip as they were hugging each other. We got something. Belichick's back. Listen, there are ways to do that. If you want to bring out the balloons, and it's fine. Bring out the balloons. But when you are getting housed by four touchdowns, you send someone. You dispatch someone to take down the balloons. It's no, we've seen this, guys, in sports and football. Some team is way up in some title game or something, and they put in the plastic in the locker room for all the champagne, and then, oh my God, there's the crazy comeback. Take down the plastic. Mayday, mayday. Someone should go pop those balloons. It wouldn't have been hard. It's not like they lost at the buzzer. They had plenty of time.
Kyle, what were your just initial thoughts on Belichick getting frozen out of the league? Because I have to publicly admit that I kind of wanted him here to restore some order with the Cowboys. And then how he would fare in college. How did you feel about it all initially?
Surprise, I guess. You know, I mean, it gets thrown around and his name is up there with John Wooden and Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson. And, like, he couldn't get a job with the Falcons. Like, they weren't interested. And I think it was a lot of things. I think it was a time where people were really looking for younger coaches. I think maybe his reputation is not the best and he's difficult to work with. And some teams don't want to give player control like he demands. So personally, like, I don't know, listen, I'm not a huge Bill Belichick fan. I completely respect the resume and the winning and all the decisions he's made, and I've watched all the documentaries. But I don't know. There's a lot of people who are very successful and also very, very easy to work with and very pleasant to work with and kind to the media.
Yeah.
I don't like all that stuff. So I wasn't disappointed, but I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I was rooting for him up until the Holly Rowe pregame interview, and then just the reminder what a jackass he is and unnecessarily has to be. And I was like laughing then after they started getting their face kicked in, plus rooting for Fort Worth. It's just, I don't know, it's just annoying. But after I saw your rant, you had a rant after the Micah trade that said that the Cowboys are in the middle of their own special little dynasty. Can you explain for our listeners what that means?
Well, dynasty just means you're doing nothing but winning and winning for what you prioritize. So right now, it's not the Chiefs era, it's the Cowboys era, but not in the NFL and NFL media. The Cowboys' first priority is to make content. I've said this many times. A long time ago, they used to be a football company that did content on the side. They are now a content company that does football on the side. If you want to look where the successes are for the Cowboys, they have the number one documentary on Netflix. They have another hit show on Netflix about their cheerleaders, and their valuation as a franchise is very, very, very expensive into the billions. So that is their three-peat. That is their championship because that is their priority. They can have a parade and raise a banner. So if you're looking for the Cowboys dynasty to return, it's here. It's just different because they are on fire right now. Football probably won't be great, but everything else they're doing, fantastic. And that tells me that's what they prioritize. So I'm happy for them. They're in the middle of a dynasty.
What part of that do you think like actually is true inside that building?
Part of it that's true is that I think that if you were to ask Jerry Jones, right in front of you, you have another Lombardi trophy, and it's beautiful, and it's silver, and it's glimmering, and you haven't had one in 30 years, and you could get another one. But over on the other side is an Academy Award, and it's golden and it's beautiful and you get to go up and make an acceptance speech in front of this whole entertainment industry. I think before you finish the sentence, he would grab the Oscar and run out of the room like Indiana Jones with the idol. He doesn't matter. Like, I think he wants the Oscar and it's fine. If that's your deal, that's okay. But you cannot tell me that your priority is winning a Super Bowl trophy. And this year, right before the season, you traded maybe top to bottom your best player right before you get started. You can't tell me you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. You're not. So I think the true test, and what I think is true, that he would take the Oscar over the Super Bowl trophy. I do.
Kyle, you mentioned the Micah trade just there as an example of it. When you look at the Cowboys right now and the way they approach things and how, you know, you say they're a content company primarily and football secondary, what are some of the things that you look at and you say, man, I'd start to have faith in them trying to do the right thing again if I saw some of this or if I could see them doing this? Is it just the fact of if Jerry would go to the shadows a little bit more, or is it just sort of the decisions that they make?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, Jerry's never going to go to the shadows, and he shouldn't. Him going and talking, how many times have we seen the shot? He's standing on some field or some tunnel, and it's always like 12 reporters around him, and one of them's like reaching around from the back, one's reaching over. It's always that scrum. It's never up at the dais. It's just him in a huddle, basically. It's good for business. All this Netflix stuff is good for business. They're really, really good at making money. But come on, this is the 30th anniversary of the last title game. I know all about it. In the time, to answer your question, I would just say better results. In the time that since they've last been to a title game, you've seen teams that did not exist then be to a Super Bowl. The Panthers have been twice. Teams that were unfathomably bad in the 90s, unthinkable. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won a couple of them since that Cowboys have. I could keep going up and down the line. Teams that weren't known for good football, they just weren't, have played the best football in the league in that time. So make your money, do your shows, do all that stuff. But, like, you can't tell me that this organization is about Super Bowls and Lombardis when, A, you just haven't won one in 30 years or even sniffed one, and, B, it seems to be you're more excited to talk about your new documentary than your pass rush, and one of them is definitely better. I know you can win Netflix. I just don't remember when you used to win the NFC.
Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, has a cool project with Vice Sports that we're about to talk about here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Give us your thoughts, Kyle, on the trade return and just your moments throughout this entire saga and process that you've been going off about on TV and covering.
I don't get off on bashing the Cowboys. I hear that a lot. I really don't.
We put out that your tease yesterday. I tweeted out you were coming on.
Yeah.
I was not expecting the amount. No disrespect to you. I was just not expecting the amount of reaction that we got. Like I think you just kind of referred to it. Maybe your rants have a different effect on people. But we got a ton of reaction to you coming on.
I'm not surprised because I've been critical of the Cowboys a lot, and I don't relish it. I don't do it for clicks. I know that people think that Stephen A. just does it for this and that. I just say what I feel. My son has a Dak Prescott jersey that he wears to school. I bought it for him. I had an Emmitt Smith jersey back in the day. I've raised on the Cowboys. I have no agenda against them. I see what I see. It's every single year. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And listen, should I have a different take? Should I say the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year? They're not. You know they're not. Everyone listening knows they're not. And they're not going to next year. So I don't apologize for my take about it. But listen, I see what I see, and I have to keep saying it like it is because this is the worst case of it all. I mean, we've seen this episode so many times where, all right, star player's holding out. We get it. We've seen it fine. Jerry's going to take care of him at the end. No, Jerry didn't take care of him. In fact, Jerry traded him. And what do I think of the trade? It's two picks from the Packers that will be at best in the mid-20s, probably the late 20s, maybe even the 30s. And then also, listen, I'm just a guy, Cowboys aside, I don't like picks for players. Picks are pixie dust. They're scratch-offs. It's a lotto. You buy at the 7-Eleven. Half of them don't work out at best. And if you really absolutely nail one, like you did with Micah Parsons, yeah, they're going to want to be paid eventually. And Jerry says, even if we nail these picks we get from the Packers, we'll have them for a few years and then just trade them for more picks once they enter their prime. It's not a good message.
Isn't that, though, how you got to do it with the cap? You got to get cheap labor.
You can, unless the player is seminal, unless he's that good of a player. Cheap labor is great until you don't have a top 10 player anymore and you don't have this player. And listen, like, I know that there's this DNA, and I grew up with it, watching it, about, well, it's Herschel Walker. That launched a dynasty. Okay, that was a long, long, long time ago. And the fact that Micah Parsons is traded the week before the season, and you think Herschel Walker is going to repeat itself, you really think that you're going to land those same draft picks that you did last time, it's going to be Hall of Famers? That's very optimistic about the draft, very optimistic. And I just, when I hear the Herschel Walker thing, I just am reminded of someone who's constantly thinking about – the good old days in high school and the car he used to drive and the music he used to listen to and his high school girlfriend. It's just, it's not a good look. And I just don't see teams winning who are constantly referring to the past. Listen, I'm from Chicago. I born and raised in Chicago. There is a subsection of Bears fans who all they want to talk about is the 85 Bears, and it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. It's 40 years ago. It really is. I hate it. I love those guys. I don't want to hear about Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary and Willie. I don't care anymore. They're great guys, but they aren't relevant to today.
Well, Kyle, what a segue to talk about 1995.
Here we go.
And the NFC Championship game. What are you guys doing with Vice? This is pretty cool.
It's a really cool thing. We go back and we watch old games, not old highlights, but old games start to finish with the players who played in them. And we pick games everybody remembers. We picked the Titans-Rams Super Bowl tackled at the one-yard line. We picked the Cardinals-Bears. The Bears are who we thought they were game. We picked the Jets-Patriots can't wait game. And we picked the 1995 title game at Texas Stadium, Brett Favre versus Troy Aikman. And I'm not saying we just watch a few plays. Michael Irvin and Emmett Smith and I watched the entire game, and they just tell stories. They provide insight. They talk about tiny little specific and nuances of the game. Fascinating. I'll tell you this. I did 6 episodes we have coming out. The other 5, I had to work really hard. For this one, I didn't speak a single word for 1 hour because I didn't have to with those 2 guys. In fact, with just that one guy, Mike just goes.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the easiest money I've ever made.
You see Mike sweating at the end of the Miami game, his shirt.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
Oh, he was sweating through it. He was sweating through his T-shirt. Kyle, I'm interested in your honesty because I think you just spit honesty. How do you guys decide the whole Cowboy run sheet, right? You're part of the NFL, NFL Network, Jerry Jones, I don't know his influence over there. How do you balance playing the hit versus, come on, let's just not do the low-hanging fruit with them?
I appreciate the question, and the answer to that is we have no directive from up on high at all. We do not have something where Jerry Jones or anyone running NFL media says talk about this more. The great thing about our show, and it has many faults on the NFL Network and Good Morning Football, but the great thing is total creative freedom. If we want to open the show with a 15-minute conversation about the Tennessee Titans, God help us, we will do it.
Wow.
And it's probably to our detriment. We do not do the thing. And listen, elephant in the room, we know that ESPN does very well and is very successful by following a certain formula of certain headlines, certain teams, certain players, and they're the worldwide leader, and I totally respect it. We don't do that. We're going to show up on our show, and if you like to hear about your team that maybe kind of sucks or maybe the draft pick isn't that great or the quarterback's not playing well, we try to talk about all 32. So I get that a lot. Like, you work for the NFL. Don't they tell you, hey, don't talk about this or do talk about this? I've done over 2,000 episodes. I can't remember a single time I was told not to talk about something. It's really cool. And the Cowboys, we talk about them a lot right now because it's August, and then it'll go quiet at the end of January. You guys know that.
Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, the new series coming out with Vice Sports as well. This was awesome, man. Thank you so much. Love to have you back again.
Pleasure to be here. Love the show. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Vice TV. Watch me, Emma, and Irvin. Guys, I think you'll really enjoy it. Cowboys fans, you can hate me. I respect it. You're passionate. It's cool with me.
Boom. There it is. Kyle Brandt on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's crosstalk, finish up Ask Reddit, and welcome in the MVP of the station party when we talk with the KNC Masterpiece. Next.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market, upgrade your vehicle. Get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine today. The back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. More new Chevys than anyone else. All priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
The 1-1. That ball hit back up the middle off of the pitcher, Burgos. It deflects into foul ground. Coming in to score, Hellman. Here comes Duran. Throw at the plate. And Duran is out.
And the Rangers can't challenge.
They can't challenge it. The call from plate umpire Chad Fairchild is out at the plate.
Safe! What a hell of a slide right there.
What a hell of a run.
That is a good point.
Never would have convinced me a week ago that we're opening up today's show with the Texas Rangers.
And Ezekiel Duran doing things all across. Although he's been playing really well.
Yeah, Bobby.
It's amazing.
Like broken clocks and blind squirrels and such.
I mean, but you could still be happy about that, right?
Sure. I just don't like. I don't think it like undoes the like 2 years where he can't be a major league baseball player.
Well, see, but that's the same thing.
No, being right is happy.
Every time Jock Peterson hits a home run, I'm not like, yay, all is fixed. But I'm like, I don't care about the rest of the season now because you're hitting.
I guess Choppy did say the other day, you're never more than happy to be wrong.
Right.
I heard that on the show and then on the like the 5:30 segment.
Okay.
Yeah, these people say, I'll be more than happy to be wrong. They won't.
Oh, no, I do want to be wrong about what I think the Cowboys season is going to be now.
Yeah, but you're not more than happy to be. You don't want to be wrong.
No, I do want to be wrong.
Yeah, because then you might win the Super Bowl.
It'll be a better game. It'll be more beneficial for me to be wrong for our show purposes.
Another year of
I can't say it more times to you. I want to be wrong about them being under 500. I want to be wrong about them being a non-playoff team.
Yeah,
I do want to be wrong.
I'll take being right over
show success.
Absolutely,
ratings,
that
money.
That does not surprise me, though.
Yes. What's coming up on the program?
Man, so many fun things today on the show.
What are you eating, Mike?
These are almonds because I forgot my lunch today, guys.
Oh,
guys, my wife is out of town. And therefore, I don't have a wife. I'm without one.
What?
And
she still exists.
So I have.
She went to Phoenix to eat at
Corey
the restaurant.
Corey kept calling it out of town rules during the break. I don't know what that meant.
He has too many kids.
Corey was trying to track down with me and Chiafalo last night the restaurant we ate at in Phoenix.
Yeah, I heard Chiafalo wasn't the most helpful.
He was like,
Yeah,
they had beer and chicken. And I was like, I know. That's exactly what I said.
He texted me and he was like, it's the one we ate that Hagee had a terrible experience.
All I wanted was for them to admit that they forgot my order. Because there was, what, like 12 of us? And me and one other person got the exact same thing. Theirs got brought out. My food didn't. By the time everybody was done, we had asked a couple of times and asked again. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, we didn't forget.
But then psycho accountant Corey, you'd be proud of him, Kevin. He goes, I'll just go back and find the expense reports.
Oh,
and
good thinking.
He tracked it down. Did you find it from that?
No, I eventually just Googled, because evidently that's the 1 year I didn't keep expenses. The 1 year since 2018 that I didn't do my expenses.
Yeah. Like our
so you're not proud of it.
And I just went and Googled places like Yard House in Phoenix, because you had said it was like the Yard House, and I was like, all right. So I Googled that, and I saw Culinary Dropout, and I was like, that looks familiar, and I figured it out.
When was that?
So I suggested Adrian go there. But yeah, I'm kind of chaos right now. Tuesday tailgate at 12:30 today, and also Shoddy Presser at 11:20.
And tomorrow, the debut of the Brian Schottenheimer show with us at 8:20. We'll have Nick Eatman, Brett Boone. 8:20, Brian Schottenheimer.
A, are you excited?
Yes.
B, are you disappointed you can't burn off two segments by replaying it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am. He said, I'm not going to wake up like Mike McCarthy did that
early. Good.
That early.
But I also like Shoddy because he shows up to his press conferences at the time.
Does he?
He's really delicious.
It already gives him an advantage.
Before we ask Reddit, Corey, I have to crown you as MVP of the station pool party.
Oh, really?
Corey texted me early on in the day. He goes, so this is non-swimming weather, right? And I was like, incorrect.
And I said trunks activated.
He wrote back trunks activated. Text of
RJ
the day
said something similar,
and I just figured you wouldn't follow through with it. And he got there, and he was the first one to go, and he broke the seal for the pool, and that eventually opened the floodgates. And I got to give you props. So you were my pool partner in crime.
Once I did it, every other man got in the pool.
And only men.
And then it was a long time before women decided to get in.
Yeah.
I think all the men got out, and then the women said, all right, we'll get in now.
It was cold. They couldn't get in there. I guess ESPN would have had them all in there playing basketball. But it was just, you know, three-point shooting contest and playing horse in there.
I did cannonball.
Yes.
I splashed them.
That was a monster cannonball. So props to you, MVP of the party, in my opinion. Roberto, let's finish up Ask Reddit.
All right, let's do it. We have several left over from the Ask Reddit segment. So first one here, Kevin Hagland. What industry would collapse overnight if people suddenly became smarter with their money?
Ooh, I feel like it's got to be the lottery.
Right? That makes sense.
I'm going to go play today.
Exactly. Is it a billion?
It's like it was at least 950 the other day, so it probably is.
It was the Herman Cain tax plan on the highway this weekend. It was 999.
So my odds are better to win now, that right?
No, they're not better to win now.
13-year-old reference.
Do you play? I understood.
Thank you.
Do you play when it's like 200 or 300 million? Not really.
Who wants that?
That wouldn't work. It's not worth it. It's not.
It helps you feel more justified as not a degenerate, just totally throwing the money away. At least I'm throwing it away for $1 billion, and not just $60 million. Because then I would be playing every
just
single week.
$60 million.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to take that money and parlay into it like 10% of a sports franchise.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? As long as you have a plan, yeah, a plan. I get it.
The coffee, like Starbucks, Scooters. Mm. If people didn't spend $6 on coffee and just made their coffee at home.
Yeah.
Then those places would all be done.
That's a good one.
Are you just saying coffee shops?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Dang.
Yeah.
Putting them all out of
all of them.
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying if we all just did what Fish said and spent 13 cents on our coffee every day or whatever.
Pepe, do you have one?
Mine would be casinos. You're smarter than your money. There go the casinos. Sports books. See you later.
Oh, wow. That's dumb.
You are mathematically. But if you're smarter with your money, like mathematically, you are supposed to lose.
We're losing it.
Hear me on BetMGM Network, by the way, every weekend during the football season.
Well, because you're trying to make people smart enough to beat those
odds.
That's
right. Absolutely. Look, I'm not against this, but it's the people that are in it, the stock market. Okay, you overreactionary losers. Wow. Oh my God, this happened. Was it sell, fade, whatever they call it?
Buy or sell?
Yeah. I'm just going to, the dip, right? And then things go up and down because somebody farted in the wrong direction.
Oh God.
It's the dumbest thing.
The reaction to it, yeah.
Awful.
One car blows up and it's like, and it just, oh, it's going to plummet down.
Yeah. It's like, guys, we not understand process.
I had a couple of friends who got in trouble because they were trying to like manipulate the orange juice futures in the stock market, so I get what you're saying.
How are they manipulating it?
That's from the movie Trading Places.
Oh.
They were squeezing them.
All right, next one here on Ask Reddit 2.0.
Does squeeze.
What's the brutally honest dating advice you wish the women in your life, sisters, daughters, friends, etc., understood?
Yeah. Oh. Stop.
Oh, say it. Brutally answer the question.
Yeah, like just be willing to admit that her personality is great, but she's not good looking.
Ha!
Then we could just skip ahead and like manage the situation. Don't be like, oh yeah, she's super cute. And you're like, she's not. So I need you to just be honest about that so we can all move ahead accordingly. It's okay.
Look, I would never give advice. I don't give advice to people. I don't
about
do that.
Anything?
Not really. It's their own problem.
What do you do on the bet show?
Or sports
that's betting
talk show.
That's betting
okay.
advice. That's
betting advice.
I don't mean personal advice. Okay. I think everybody needs to fail their own way, figure it out themselves.
I like that.
But you could talk and talk and talk and talk as much as you want. You need to realize he doesn't care what you have to say. He's only interested enough until he has sex with you.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
And then once that has happened, he no longer cares. And that goes for not just a date. It's a boyfriend, a husband, a fiance, all of them. They're only interested in what you're saying up until the point where you're having relations.
I told my sister they will say anything they can to get in your pants. So do not let them in.
Yes, that's true. Initially on the ascent, and then it does descend. But if you stay in a long-term relationship, that starts coming back up the other side, I think. It doesn't plummet down to nothing.
Like on the back?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant there.
Word.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Wow. No,
I'm sorry. That's too far? Okay.
No. I thought it was perfectly acceptable. I think this is one that I remember a buddy of mine used to say. He was like, if you are worried about them looking at other women, you will never find anyone. Because they are all going to look because it's what it is. That's what they do. And so everybody's going to look. So if you're waiting for somebody who's not going to look at other women, then you're never going to find anybody. And you need to accept that.
Pepe, do you have a piece of advice? I figure you would have something semi-offensive to end the show with.
No, I would just, my mind's a little more PG. Just the friend zone works both ways. It's not just women that can do the friend zone. The guys can do it as well. So that's my advice.
You're saying that guys can be friends with girls?
No, the friend zoning girls. Guys can do it too. So girls can't just think it's all about them friend zoning guys. Guys can flip the Uno reverse card on you.
True.
What?
I don't know. I don't think girls don't want to. They friend zone you, so they don't have to do that. Guys, they'll do that with anyone.
You never friended someone.
But guys are
guys friend zone you because, well, the answer's no right now.
Right.
No right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, maybe one day in the future.
Tomorrow, yeah. Mike Tirico, Brian Schottenheimer, Nick Eatman, Brett Boone, Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day!
The KSC Masterpiece is next on 105.3 The Fan.